Well, let me give you three issues where I think in every case there was a failure of political competition, and it's either because it's in the nature of human beings to do what I'm going to suggest, or because there's just less competition and politicians can exploit that in ways that are not good for the rest of us. So for my story, which is not unrelated to yours, I sort of look at a combination of Rajan and your story. Mm-hmm. So here's three issues. Issue number one, mm-hmm. when a large financial institution is about to go bankrupt, what should we do? And the answer since 1984 is almost always let the stockholders lose all their money and let the creditors, the bondholders, and the lenders get all their money back 100 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. That's the decision that we have consistently made. It has been a bipartisan, shockingly to me, a bipartisan consensus that that's always a good idea, lest there be financial instability. So that's case number one.
I agree with that entirely. Yes, that's been a big problem.
Case number two, is it a good idea for the homeownership in the United States to go up? Now, around the mid-90s, there was a huge push from both Democrats and Republicans, more Democrats, but when the Republicans got more empowered, they pushed it too, that said we should try to increase the homeownership rate. Now, we can argue about Fannie and Freddie you do in your presentation. Let's put that to the side for the moment. What is true is that when this push was made, the homeownership rate in the United States started a steady increase, which in areas that were particularly supply constrained, that it was hard to build new houses, that resulted in large price increases. Who was in favor of that? Well, there were some sinister people in favor of it, or that's not the right word, people who had a self-interest in it. Those were people in the real estate business, people who built houses. It was also people who could profit from that. Those were people on Wall Street who could invent new securities that would allow people to invest in those homes. It was also people who cared about the poor, people who – this is the Rajan argument. It was also people, the poor themselves, who hadn't had access to home ownership, people who felt that was unfair, that something unfair was going on. So they supported it. So there was this beautiful consensus across party lines and across interests of different sectors that this was good basically, that it was – and it was cheap. There was no budgetary cost at the time. So those two, I forgot the third one, but those two decisions along, the bailouts. So when we had a choice to funnel money directly into these institutions that had made bad investments, there was a bipartisan consensus. Not, I'm helping my friends who are rich donors. Not, I'm helping my friends in the financial sector, but this is good for the country. People were able to convince themselves of that. If you want to give it a nice sheen, if you want to give it an ugly color, you can say they were helping their rich friends. But in those three cases, there was no political competition. The only people who voiced dissent from that were people on the fringes of either the parties or outside the party structure who said, these are bad ideas. How could that recipe, those three things, fail to create disaster?
Well, I mean, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with much of what you've said. I mean, I think on the on the house ownership thing, I agree with you that, you know, artificially inflating home ownership rates is and especially doing it through things such things as mortgage tax credit, which I think is just a really bad idea, is a really distortionary form of increasing our taxes because we then give it back in a distortionary form. I think I agree with all of that. But the research that people have done, there's these two interesting papers by Neil Butta, who is now at the Federal Reserve Board, I believe.
Yep.
He was a graduate student at MIT. So he looks at both the Community Reinvestment Act and the underserved areas goal provision, which is kind of a key part of the
Fannie and Freddie. Yep.
Yeah, the kind of the GSE process that kind of essentially set goals for Fannie and Freddie to purchase a certain amount of mortgages in lower income and minority areas. And what he finds is that those had very small effects.
Yeah, I know.
So,
it's two interesting papers. We'll see if they stand up, but they're provocative.